All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I'm going to ask you to pray hard for Pastor Lewis and Kim Howell down in New Zealand to get their house sold. They've had several folks look at it. There are several folks interested, but they're having a recession down there, just like everybody else. So, pray the Lord will work this thing out so that they can get up here and get a house here and get busy. I need him, and we need him. And so let's pray that that house will sell. I know they're excited about coming, so excited about it. And they put all of their furniture on a boat. Everything they own in one of those trailers, what do you call those things? A container. And they put it on the ship, and the ship is supposed to be here November the 14th now. So that's a lot closer than they figured. They figured it would not be here until January, but things are moving right along there. So let's pray that they can get that house sold and get here as quickly and as soon as possible. And then I was given the other night during church, sometime Sunday night, I was given or it might have been Sunday morning, I don't know, but I was given a page out of one of our devotionals that we put out on the table. And when I read the page, I said, well, we're done with this. And so the ones that that come from the Creation Institute, they will not be out there anymore. So if you read those, if that's your favorite, I'm telling you now, so you can arrange, if you want to get it, you can arrange to have them mail it to your house. But this was a blatant, just an absolutely blatant error that was made. And I was told that's not the first error that has been noticed. And so I pulled it, and I wanted y'all to know about it. So if you like it, and there's some always, good stuff, but this was just blatant. I don't know how else to say it to you. So I think we need to look at some other venue for that. Of course, I've expressed my opinion to you all on those devotional guides. I don't like them. I just don't like them. It's a substitute for sitting down and reading your Bible. It's just a substitute. And folks will sit down, takes 2 minutes to read that little ditty in there, and then you say you've had devotions. Well, now you read a ditty is what you did, all right? You read a little story, that's what you did. And I don't know. You say, you're so picky. I know. All right, let's look at our Bibles, please. If you will look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of, did I tell you what chapter?
No.
Okay, good. 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, who have died and been buried. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump trumpet of God. That's not Donald now. All right, let's make sure everybody understands that. The trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. See that? In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, these are some interesting words that Paul gives to the Thessalonian church. And the reason that he gives them is because in verse 13, there were some folks who were spreading a rumor that the Lord had already come back. All right? They were saying that Jesus came back and you folks missed it. Well, that's not true. The Lord has not yet returned. He has not come back yet. Now, he's going to, all right, but he has not come back yet. But we know that he is coming. And one of the reasons that we know that he is coming is because right here, Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus is coming again. He does not shade it. He does not, color it in any way. He does not excuse it in any way. He does not make excuses for it in any way. No, he just simply says that the Lord is coming again. Now, we know that when the Lord comes back for the church at the rapture, we know that he is not physically going to step or put a step on the earth. He will appear in the clouds. All right, now how did he go out? In a cloud. And when he comes back for the church, it will be in a cloud. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together. We'll go as one. We'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right. So that is a promise that the Lord Jesus is coming again. All right, now hold your place right there for just a moment and go over to the Gospel of John to chapter 14. And let me read you just a couple of verses here. In verse 1 of chapter 14, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now listen, now who's talking here? The Lord Jesus, yes. And listen to what he says. "And if I go..." And we know he did because we have Acts chapter 1 in our Bibles. All right. So if I go and prepare a place for you, let's all read the next four words. "I will come again." All right. Now, that's the Lord telling us. Now, let me remind you that the Bible, Paul said in Titus 1, 2, that God cannot lie. All right? If God could lie, he'd be no better than the devil. Because that's all the devil does is lie. All right? But God cannot lie. And so when the Lord Jesus says, "I will come again," you can just bank on it. He's coming again. All right? Now, what throws folks is they cannot discern between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus to this earth. People have a hard time discerning that. These people who call themselves post-millennialist, they say that the Lord's coming back after everything. No. He's coming back after the millennium. No, he's not. He's coming back before the millennium. We believe in the pre-millennial return of Jesus Christ to the earth. But we also believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Okay? And that simply means that the Lord Jesus is going to come back to remove the church from this earth before the judgment and wrath of the tribulation period begins. And man, I'm glad he is. I was just reading it again this morning, what's going to happen during the tribulation period. I don't want to be here. And I don't think you do either. But thank the Lord, we get taken out. Now, I know there's some other folks, they say, the church has got to be judged. Well, we are going to be judged. We're being judged right now. And you say, I mean physical judgment upon us. Well, my Bible says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So, man, I'm thankful for that. God's not going to condemn me because the church doesn't know how to behave itself. All right? And he's not going to condemn you either. There's no condemnation. All right? Now, tonight, we're talking about the return. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you see in verse 17 that we will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And that cloud is in the same cloud that we have been following all the way through the Bible. That Shekinah. Folks, when the Lord Jesus appears in that cloud, it's not going to be just some little old cloud that rose up because of atmospheric conditions. No, it's going to be the glory of God, the Shekinah, and our Savior standing in all of his splendor and glory. All right, now, we're going to look tonight at the manner in which the Lord Jesus will return, the manner in which the Lord Jesus will return. And we have to understand that so far as the Lord's returning, there are two phases or two aspects of his return. There's the rapture, and that's return to the clouds. That's how he went up, and that's how he's coming back. And he's coming back for us, his church. All right? And then there is a second time that he will come back at his return. Remember, rapture, ruin, return, the second coming, the return right there, and then the reign, 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, and then restoration. The new heaven, the new earth, eternity. All right? So I'll do my best to make sure to tell you which R word that I'm referencing and reading about as we go through this tonight. So understand, the manner of his return to this old world is of supreme significance. I mean, it is also a matter about which God has been pleased to provide us simple instruction about. But we just have to read the Bible and understand God's eschatology. All right, now I've taught you before, ology means the study of. Okay, you have biology. All right, you have anthropology, that's man, the study of man. You have zoology, that's the study of animals. You have botany, all these different things that they are the study of one specific area. Well, there is an eschatology. And the word eschatos is a big old fancy Greek word that simply means future things. So what we are looking at is Bible eschatology. And the Bible has a very clear eschatology. All right? And so we're going to look at it. Now, the first thing that I call to your attention is this. The Lord Jesus is going to return. He's going to come back in person. All right? In person. On this matter, there should be no room at all for speculation, because he clearly said to his disciples that he was coming back to this earth again. And when he does come, they will see him and know it's him. All right? He's not going to disguise himself. All of us will know who he is. I read for you John 14, 1 to 3, and the Lord Jesus simply said, guys, I'm going away. I'm going away. But then immediately he said to them, but I'm coming back again. Now, I'm sure that when they heard that, they were a little perplexed, and I think that you would pretty much agree with me that these two statements are about as simple and as easy to grasp as anything that you've ever read in the Bible. I'm going away. That means he's not going to be here anymore. All right? Does that make sense? And then he said, I'm going away, but I'm coming again. Well, that means that when he does go away, he's going to come back. It's not complicated. You say, well, I wonder what the dispensation will be. Who cares? Who cares? He said, I'm going away. He did. Then he said, I'm coming back. And he will. You say, well, I just wish I knew when he was coming. Don't we all? But to salve our egos, he said, I don't even know when I'm coming back. He said, only my Father, which is in heaven, knows. So we don't know when he's coming, but we do know that he's coming again. And you cannot read this and say, I wonder what he meant. You know, he's going away. Wonder what that means. Does it mean he's leaving Jerusalem? Does it mean that he's leaving Judea? Does it mean that he is going up to Nazareth or maybe down to Egypt? I wonder what that means. I just don't have any idea what he is saying here. So he says that he's going away, but then he says he's coming back. So boy, now folks are really confused, aren't they? You know, whole denominations have been founded upon getting confused about one of the R's in the outline, and they come up with a whole movement based on when they think the Lord is going to return. You hear the amillennialist. Well, ah means no. So if you have an amillennialist, you have somebody who says, there ain't going to be no millennium. All right? Well, according to the Bible, there is. But yet, whole churches have been established on stuff like that. And it's if you're going to understand Bible eschatology, you have to get Bible eschatology correct. It's got to be correct. You have to know what is coming. What's coming? And folks, we have spent a lot of time discussing what's coming. A lot of time. So I hope you're not confused about things. Are you still in 1 Thessalonians? All right, look at chapter 1 for just a moment. Look at chapter 1. And in chapter 1, go down, please, to verse 9. All right? Verse 9 says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven." So we know where he is. Where is he? He's in heaven. So we are waiting right now for him to come back from heaven, whom he, God, raised from the dead. And in case there's any confusion, he's talking about Jesus. He says, "Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." All right, so, church has got to go through at least half the tribulation period. Not according to the Bible. We're delivered from the wrath. You know, that's what happened to this Friends of Israel thing up here in Philadelphia. You remember that? You remember the Friends of Israel? Well, that the guy that founded that thing wrote a book several years ago, and I read the book, and it made no sense whatsoever, none. And he twisted the scripture to make it say what he wanted it to say, and he said that the church was going to have to go through half of the tribulation period. Well, I just read to you right there where it says, "Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Amen. We don't have to go through that period of wrath called the tribulation period. We don't have to go a 3.5-year period. We don't have to go a 3-year period. We don't have to go a 3-month period. We don't have to go 3 weeks into it, or 3 days, or even 3 hours. We are delivered from the wrath to come. Now, if you're just so adamant about being judged, please explain to me why you have a death wish. Why would you want to be judged? Well, the church has to be judged. No, no. Our sin, listen, folks, our sins were judged on Calvary's cross. All right? That makes sense to everybody? All right, now these folks lived in Thessalonica. That was a Greek city. And these folks were worshiping the gods, small g, of mythology. The gods of the Greeks, the gods of the Romans, the gods of the Babylonians, that they all just carried over, and what they would do is just switch the names. All right? Bel, B-E-L, and then it was Baal, B-A-A-L. And first time I heard one of the guides over in Israel pronounce that, I said, what? And I said, whoa, what'd you just say? He said, what do you mean? I said, you just said something about Baal. He said, oh, it's not Baal. It's Baal. Baal. Well, I can't say that all the time. Y'all think I was nuts. All right, so I'll just call it Baal. Baal. Mercy. All right. But and then when that was under the Babylonians, and then the Medes and the Persians, and then you had the Greek Empire, and Baal became Zeus, and then under the Romans, Zeus became Jupiter, and it same gods, they all did the same thing, they all had the same powers. All things would switch a little bit here and there, trying to get their own identity up on them. But it was all the same bunch. And so Paul says that he was so happy for the people of Thessalonica because they turned to God, the true God. All right, look at verse 9, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So Paul was happy for those Christians in Thessalonica who had turned from false gods to serving the true God. Now notice how clearly we are told that the one who is coming is the Son of God. Look, please, again at the end of verse 9. It says, how ye turned from to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his what? Son from heaven, with whom he raised from the dead. All right, you can't stumble on that, can you? I shouldn't think so. And in case you could, Paul said, comma, even Jesus. Now you certainly can't stumble over that, right? That's about as clear as the nose on your face. Which delivered us from the wrath to come. And so the whole idea here is the fact that even Jesus is our deliverer, our Savior, our Redeemer. And he is the Son of the living God. And when he comes back, listen, when he left in his glorified body. When he left, when he resurrected, he had his glorified body. And when he comes back, he's going to have that same glorified body. And when we see him, we're going to know that it's him. We're going to know. Amen. Even Jesus. And in my mind, I cannot possibly see how anyone could miss the fact that when the Lord Jesus returns to this earth, he will come back in person. All right? It's not going to be a 3D image. It's not going to be a laser show. No AI. No artificial intelligence. No, it's him. In person. Now, another thing. How are we doing here? Oh, we're good. Another thing. The Bible is clear that the Lord Jesus is going to return in his resurrected, glorified body. The Bible's clear. You say, how so? Well, listen very carefully to this. Back about 120, maybe 120 to 150 years ago, there were these enlightened thinkers, or so they called themselves. They were, they called themselves thinking theologians. All right, they knew more than all the rest of us. That's what they were saying. And these guys were going to colleges, to universities over in Europe, and they were getting a hold of some poison in the classroom. And so they started questioning everything instead of believing everything. Now, folks, that's a dangerous place to be. You see, that's a dangerous place to be. And when you stop and think about it, that is the demise of just about every Bible college, Bible seminary, or Bible university. I mean, you realize that all of the Ivy League schools used to be seminaries. They turned out Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Penn. They produced many, if not most, of our founding fathers, but also many of some of the greatest preachers that America has ever known. Now, they didn't go to college to learn how to be agnostics. That's what happens today when you go to a Harvard or a Yale or whatever. You get taught critical thinking, where you question everything in the Bible. Now, we're supposed to believe the Bible. We're supposed to believe the Bible. And I'll tell you another very dangerous thing that's going on today is young people are going to Bible colleges and they are getting critical teaching that causes them or leads them to correct the Bible. Now, the Bible should be correcting us, not us correcting the Bible. You know? All right, so, but that's what we're seeing. We're seeing it. And these guys were saying, well, you know, we're having a hard time understanding God's plan in the book of the Revelation. We just can't quite see what God's going to do in the last days. So they came up with an idea to spiritualize the book of the Revelation. They didn't use the Bible to learn the Bible. All right? They used men's opinions and weaved those all together in order to come up with an eschatology. The only problem was their eschatology did not match the Bible's eschatology. And thus we have so much confusion today about the Lord's return. Folks, we don't spiritualize the scriptures. We simply take the Bible as it is. We take literally what God tells us in the blessed old book, and we believe it. We believe it. Now, listen, there's some things that I don't understand, but that's my issue. It's not God's issue. God understands it. And there's things that I've read through the years, and I thought, what in the world does that mean? And I had no idea what it meant. But you know, as you read and as time goes by, and you read it and you believe it, and you compare scripture with scripture, and you get counsel and advice and wisdom from the Holy Spirit of God, who is the author of the book. Amen. Who better to talk to about a book than its author? And so the Lord slowly, sometimes, starts to give you understanding. Now, I still don't know everything, and neither do you. But whatever you do, don't question God's word. God knows exactly what he's saying. So, well, there's contradictions in the Bible. No, there's things you just don't yet understand. It's not contradictions. It's just things you don't yet understand. So, under the most distressing circumstances, the Lord Jesus definitely promised his disciples this. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and we'll close tonight with this. All right, Matthew chapter 28, look please at verse 18. And the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now you know what all means, right? All. All power. He has the authority because of the resurrection. He did what nobody else has ever been able to do. He resurrected from the dead. I've told you all many times that, you know, I've had funerals for some rascals. I mean, terrible people. And I had one man that said he didn't believe that he was, how do you phrase that? He said something to the effect like, "Well, if I die, I'm not staying dead. I'll show God." And I said, "No, you won't. What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I'll show God." I said, "Man, you got cancer and you're dying. You're going to be dead in probably a week. And you're sitting here shaking your fist in God's face." And he did. I mean, he did. And we, and he died about a week later. And we had the funeral service. That was a hard one because there was no hope whatsoever. Never gave his wife or his kids or anybody any hope that he had gotten his heart right with God before he died. And so we carried him out to the cemetery and we put him in the ground, and the family got in their car and they drove away. And I stood there for a few minutes. Funeral home director said, "You ready to go, preacher?" And I said, "No, give me a minute here." He said, "Why?" I said, "He said he was going to get up." Funeral home director looked at me and said, "If he does, we're leaving." And I said, "He ain't getting up." And he said, "I know." But he shook his fist at God. "I'll get up." "No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't." He has authority. Amen. He has all power. Now look at verse 19. "Go ye on the basis of the fact that Jesus has all power. Go ye." Go ye, that's you, that's me. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now watch. Here's the great promise. All right? He said that he was going to go back to the Father, but then he's coming again. Okay? But now look at this great promise, and you'll see what he said. He said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now that little word always there, it simply means all the way. I will be with you all the way. Now folks, if somebody's dead, they can't be with you all the way. Right? Of course. So what a promise that is. He said, "I will be with you all the way." And he said in another place, he said, "And if I go, I will come again," in John 14, "to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So he's with us now all the way. But then he's coming back. And when he comes back, then we go to be with him. And guess what? We're going to be with him all the way, throughout all eternity. Now, you know, when things get bad, when things are difficult, when you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, when the money runs out, when life just breaks your heart, you got to realize something. There's one that will never leave you. He said, "I'll be with you all the way." And then when he comes back, we go up to be with him. And guess what? He's with us all the way. It doesn't make any difference what happens to us. He is with us all the way. What a great truth. What a great truth. And in full accord with these promises, you remember the Lord Jesus walked up the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and he ascended right before the eyes of the disciples. And two men came and stood by the disciples as Jesus went out of sight, and that cloud received him out of their sight. And those two men said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom ye have seen go into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go." So folks, over and over and over, the Bible tells us he's coming again. We don't have anything to be discouraged about. You say, "But you don't know what I'm going through." No, but I know who your Savior is. And he'll never leave you. Now, these disciples, all right, here's where I'm going. These disciples had seen for 40 days that resurrected body. In that 40-day period, they had seen his resurrected body. And they walked with him, and they sat at the table with him, and they talked as they walked along the way. I mean, they had witnessed that glorified body. They stood on the Mount of Olives and watched him just go up right in front of their eyes. They watched that. Okay? And certainly, they could have no doubt as they watched him ascend into heaven that he ascended in that same glorified, resurrected body that they had seen him in after he resurrected from the grave. And those are the reasons why, folks, the Lord must come again. He just has to come again. I've said to you over and over and over, there is so much written in the Bible which has yet to be fulfilled. So the Lord has to come back in order to fulfill all those promises. But the main promise is, I went away, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. So he has to come back. Case closed. Case closed. And I just hope he comes back soon. I'll be honest with you, I hope he comes back soon. I hope he comes back before Election Day, that's for sure. Let him have it. Just let him have it. We'll be in heaven. No voting in heaven. No, the Lord has all authority. There'll be no coup in heaven. No, sir. All right. I hope that made sense to you. Good. All right. So we'll pick it up right there. I really think I can wrap this up next Wednesday night. I think. Hey, that hurts. Quit. That hurts. Don't do that. But I really do think I can wrap this up next week. We'll see. No, we're not gambling now. No. No. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great promise that you're coming again. You told your disciples that you were going away, and you did. But you also told them that you'd be back. And now, Father, we are gloriously looking for that return. I pray that we'll see our Savior in the cloud. I pray we'll witness that soon. And Father, no man knows the day nor the hour, but we can certainly look at the signs and realize that we have to be close. So Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will help each one of us to realize whose team we're on and to pick our chins up and just march on for the cause, for the glory of the Lord. So Father, give us your blessing and just help us as we serve, that soon we'll hear that trumpet blow. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.